Welcome to the Shoesmith Serious Injury Podcast. I'm Sharon Banger, and today we have Kashmir Uppal, a partner in our serious injury department, and Tracy Daly, a guest for us from Midland Case Management. Today we're going to be covering the topic of case management in serious injury claims. Now, it's a topic that not everyone will know about. It isn't involved in every case, but it is involved in a lot of our complex serious injury cases where either a child is involved and there are needs that we need to take care of, or there's an adult who doesn't have capacity to deal with certain aspects of their lifestyle. It's a topic which both myself and Kashmir have to deal with quite often in our caseloads and other members of our team. And we thought it'd be really interesting for our listeners to hear about what work Tracy does and how that works with the legal claim, and what support we can offer to our clients, our existing client base, and potential future clients. I think a lot of time when we're pursuing cases and pursuing claims, a lot can get lost in what actually went wrong with at the hospital or with the doctors, and sometimes what gets lost in the detail, which doesn't get lost for us at all, is the support that we can provide as a result of a claim being successful. And so Tracy's here to speak to us about that. Tracy, if you just let us know a bit about yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Tracy Daly. I'm a case manager and I've been involved in case management since 2011. I've worked with a large variety of clients throughout the years, including children with cerebral palsy, children who have acquired brain injuries, and also adults with acquired brain injuries.
And if someone were to ask you, what does a case manager do on a day-to-day basis? What is it that you do? And how do you fit in with the case?
So a brain injury case manager tends to be a health or social care professional specialising in brain injury case management. And it's our job to make sure that the clients are able to completely maximise the rehabilitation. And in addition to that, to make sure that the social needs are met.
So if we kind of give a bit of context to our listeners, I know Tracy's worked on my cases, and at the moment you're dealing with quite a large case involving a child who unfortunately has cerebral palsy due to avoidable issues during her birth process. And I know Kashmir has dealt with similar situations where we've needed a case manager. If you let us know, Kashmir.
We tend to get case managers involved when we get an interim payment of compensation to assist the child in securing a care and therapy package. So it's really important to get an early admission of liability so that you can get the funds to help the family. And obviously you need to have a person who's got experience of recruiting carers, experience of good therapists, somebody that can manage that whole package, and you can be confident that they're going to use that interim payment to the maximum benefit of the family at that point. So identifying what the family's needs are. Some families are providing 24 hours care to the child. They're exhausted. They desperately need care. They need good quality care, just to give them some quality of life issues, and also the therapy to make sure that child is going to make progress. So that's the point at which you get the case manager involved.
And in terms of the types of cases that you've dealt with, Tracy, I know, as I said, you're dealing with one of my clients who has cerebral palsy. I know that you work with a variety of clients and patients. So if you let us know a bit about that, please.
So the clients that I have worked with can be children with a variety of needs. Sometimes they've got very serious medical needs and they need a high level of nursing care. Other times the children can be more physically able, but perhaps have other types of difficulties. For example, behavioural difficulties, difficulties accessing education. Each client really that comes to each and every client is completely unique in what their own particular needs and challenges are.
And I know, certainly know from clients who I've known who've had case managers, they see it as somewhat of a lifesaver, especially when you've got parents who have not only had to deal with negligence, the shock of sometimes having a child who has neurological issues where they hadn't envisaged that that would be the case. They're having to deal with things such as Kashmir said, care, rehabilitation, and are having to organise all of that a lot of the time on top of their day job, and on top of potentially other children. So I can imagine from your perspective, you come in and your role is very valued by families that you work with.
I think so. I think sometimes initially the families are wondering what a case manager is and what we can contribute to that process. And the families are so accustomed, in my experience, of having to carry out many fights and many different fronts on their own, that to allow a case manager into their life is a big step for them. But once we've established that relationship, then in my experience, a good working relationship means that yes, it is a highly valued role for the family and can become a huge relief for the family when they realise that they've got somebody who's essentially walking beside them to pick their way through all the different challenges that they still have to face with a child.
I think that's a really important point that you make, Tracy, about families having done everything on their own for years and years, and then suddenly having somebody come into their lives to help them with that process. And as you say, a lot of those families initially find that a bit of a difficult thing to do because they're having to open up to somebody completely new to the family. But I think that once they start working with the case manager and the invaluable work that you do and the impact that that has in terms of giving them some life back, it just shows the importance of your role. What I always find strange about case management is the title case management and also case manager. Why are you called case managers?
Well, I mean, this just be my opinion, Kashmir. I haven't looked into that question. But I think from my point of view, it's because we are involved in so many different aspects of that person's life. So we can be involved in helping them to coordinate their medical difficulties. We can be involved in education. We're involved in recruiting carers, establishing multidisciplinary teams around the child. But then we can also be involved with more day-to-day things which the family are struggling to cope with completing on their own. So I think from my point of view, it's such a holistic role that you're not just working one specific area.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You aren't just working with one specific area, because as well as the family, you also have a lot of contact. I know certainly in the cases that I've dealt with you, there's a lot of contact with me as a solicitor. When we have a court of protection involved, you'll have a lot of contact with the representation from the deputy as well to deal with the funds that are being made available from the interim payment, such as Kashmir said. So there's a lot in your role. I suspect that there's a lot of interplay with the legal sector as well as the family and the therapy and the care.
Absolutely. And I think one of the key responsibilities of case management is to foster good communication between all members of the team. But sometimes the family might hear information that they don't always perhaps understand initially, but with the relationship between the case manager and the family and the client, then we can discuss different issues and help the family to understand what's happening and to resolve any issues that may occur as well. So it's fostering good communication and good relationships throughout the team, which includes, crucially, the legal team and the deputy.
And I also think that the case manager provides the solicitor with really important information by observing the care and therapy packages in play. Because families, they've got a child with a disability who've been coping for years, tend to underplay things sometimes and think it's normal and don't identify as a need. So if we take a witness statement from them, there's a lot of information that they just don't think about telling us because it's just been part of their normal life. But when the case manager goes in and observes a family, you pick up so many other aspects of the child's needs, whether they could be, you know, educational or neuropsychology, or, you know, other therapies such as hypnotherapy and hydrotherapy, which can have a major part in the rehabilitation package for that child. So it's a really, so the case manager is a really good form of source of information for us and communication.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly find that tapping into the specialism that case managers have is vital for my cases, because I, as much as we can speak to our clients, a lot of our clients don't actually even know what they need or what their children need, because they don't know the field well enough and don't know what's available out there. And there have been situations, certainly in a recent case, Tracy, you'll know, where one of my clients, a young child, was doing excellently. He's had made so much progress since we took the case on. We've got an admission of liability. We are on the right track to settling this case and settling it really well to make a big difference to her life. But we were, I think Tracy and the therapy team had noticed that because of the frustrations that this young girl was having in dealing with her condition, there were certain behaviours that she was displaying that we needed to address and needed to help her with to maximise the benefit from her therapy. And so we got a neuropsychologist involved. They're in place now. And all we're hearing back from the therapist is that it's really good that we've done that, and that it's good that we've looked at that element of her condition, which actually to a layperson wouldn't be so obvious and wouldn't be something that we may necessarily look at straight away. It certainly wasn't something that her family were looking at straight away. But now that we've highlighted, and with the help of a case manager, such as Tracy, have highlighted it, we can actually work, add value to the therapy that's being provided. So it's I think it's things like that where having a case manager really can help identify within the claim what a family needs and make sure that we allow for it in the final settlement. Is there anything you'd like to add to that, Tracy?
No, I think that's a really good point, though, because families have become so accustomed to living with their young person and just adore that young person, so their life is their normality. And it's not until people are supporting them and able to gently let them see that things could be better for the young person and for the family as a whole with the right support. But I mean, families are not always welcoming of people like neuropsychologists to come in. They have to be helped to understand the role of a neuropsychologist, and that it's not that they're trying to fix something, they're just trying to support the family.
In terms of the role of a case manager, as well as therapy and rehabilitation, you also work with the lawyers in certain cases where it's appropriate to look for new accommodation as well for clients where they're in a home which doesn't match the needs of doesn't match the needs of the person who's the victim of the claim. And I know you've, in certain cases, you've worked with the occupational therapist to find a new home for that person.
Yes, that can be a large piece of work within the work of the case manager, finding the ideal home which suits the needs of the person at the centre of the claim.
And I think that can be a challenge, can't it, Tracy, because the family will sometimes have their idea of what they feel is appropriate, but that doesn't fit the criteria of the accommodation expert that we appoint to identify what the child or the person who has got capacities needs are. And it's a really difficult balance between providing for the family's needs, but making sure that it's the child's needs which are the priority, and trying to find a house which is suitable for the child, but it may not meet all the criteria of the family.
Absolutely. And again, I think that's the role of the case manager, with communication and establishing that relationship with the family, that they help the family to understand that their needs are important, their needs are not completely irrelevant, but the priority is making sure that this is long-term accommodation to meet the needs of the young person at the centre.
Yeah, I certainly find that the accommodation area of a claim is really where the relationship is really important between the solicitors, the family, the case managers and the deputy, and where it's really, it really works to have everyone working together, because it can, as you say, it can be really difficult to find somewhere, and then it doesn't end that even when you found somewhere, you need to get the family in, make sure that they're settled and are supported. If there are any adaptations needed to the house, those need to be put into place. And obviously all of this in the background needs to be financed, and it's the legal team that are getting the funds in from the defendants, whether it's the hospital or otherwise, and are dealing with that aspect of it. And I think in a place, and forgive me if I'm wrong, Tracy, in a place like Shoesmiths, that's why the whole setup works so well, because we've got a very experienced serious injury team that are used to dealing with case managers, are used to dealing with deputies, and are used to dealing with high value complex cases involving cerebral palsy or adults that don't have capacity, and we also have a corporate protection team that are based within Shoesmiths, who we've got ready access to, who we can contact if the needs arise. And And the need does often arise, because the reality of the situation is, if we have funds, they need to be dealt with and managed carefully to protect our clients. And that's what the deputy's role is. And having the whole setup work together and having us be used to deal with case managers such as yourself really does help a family. And it can provide the difference between them feeling unsupported and feeling completely supported, and as if they've got a whole team on their side as opposed to just one person.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I suppose I was just thinking while you were speaking about why the families need the different types of accommodation. And I think that before you've worked with families, particularly with children with physical needs, but not just physical needs, it's hard to imagine the amount of space that the children's equipment takes up, and that their physical needs within a house, accessing their own home. So, I mean, that's why it's so important to find the perfect accommodation for that child with everybody working together as a team.
And it's amazing how, when you've got that accommodation, the difference it makes to the child and the family. I went to visit one of my clients yesterday in the new home, and it was just so lovely seeing the child in a room that was big enough for the therapy and sensory equipment. The carers were there. The child is thriving. The parents look so much more relaxed. Whilst the house needs some adaptations, but you can see that it's like a weight lifted off their shoulders, and they can see a future. And so, getting that house and getting the right house, and making sure that the adaptations are done to meet the family's needs is a really, really important part of that rehabilitation journey, because it's the psychological impact of having somewhere that's big enough to meet the child's needs, to get a proper care and therapy package in place. The accommodations family were living in before was so small, they had no privacy from the carers. The quality of life was so poor. So the accommodation makes a real difference. And I just want to talk about a little bit about the rehabilitation package as well, because I had a case previously where, again, the family were in unsuitable accommodation. We secured an interim payment and we got them into a larger house. We also managed to get a therapy and care package in place. And the importance of the therapy package was that this child was... made the transition from GMF FCS 5 to 4 because they could use the standing frame, and that the child's mobility improved. The child using a knee-to-eater, their feeding improved, and as a result of that, their life expectancy improved, and that had an impact in terms of the multipliers for the claim. So the importance of a case manager being in place at an early stage to get the right therapy and care package in place is such that it can improve the child's prognosis, life expectancy, and obviously ultimately the valuation of the claim.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think being part of an experienced team really helps to support the family at the early stages, because I'm often involved at the early stages and the family can't imagine what it will be like to move house. How can they possibly have carers in this tiny house? How can they manage the therapist coming in? And to be able to say to the clients that, you know, we have seen it at the other end, we've seen it working. It's a process. It can sometimes be painful for everybody, but the outcome, as you say, Kashmir, is generally excellent for the families and the clients.
Yeah, and I think it's that element of support and comfort as well that we can't underestimate the value of that to our clients, to the people that you work with, Tracy. And like just one thing kind of came to mind when Catherine was just speaking just then, and it's something that was said to me recently with a family that we'd moved into, initially rented accommodation, but they will be purchasing, is that just actually having the space, because my client has a wheelchair and it's difficult for her to be in certain rooms in their previous home, but having the space to be in a room with other members of the family and being able to see the siblings and being able to be in a garden which has enough space and has facilities to play, those little might seem little things, and actually just taking it away from the material aspect of it, the play equipment and the cost, just having that ability to be around the people that you love and being given the freedom of that through the claim it really can't be underestimated. And it's details like that that I always try and put in my witness statement to communicate to the courts and the defendants as to the impact that this claim could have on this person's life and the benefit that they would have from the items that we're providing. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for. I think sometimes in the press, figures are bandied about, especially for cases involving these cerebral palsy claims and large scale brain injuries. But actually what underpins those figures, it are the needs that we're fulfilling and are essentially trying to put someone in a position that they possibly would have been had the brain injury or otherwise injury had that not happened. And I think that aspect, the emotive side of things is something that's really important.
In terms of the work that we do and how we get to where we get to, I always say that there's three words that we as litigators need to make sure we have. It's almost like if you're an estate agent, it's location, location, location. If you're a litigation solicitor, it's evidence, evidence, evidence. And the evidence that we need our case managers to provide is the impact of the care and therapy. Because even though we've got an admission of liability, we still have to prove the claim for quantum, and we have to provide the evidence in the form of really rich and detailed witness statements, reports from the treating therapist, really detailed care records, and really detailed case management reports, setting out how the child or the injured person is responding to the therapy and care. And particularly if there's a care package, which is a 24-hour waking night care package, that has to be substantiated by the evidence. And I think that's a really crucial part for the case manager, because obviously you're involved in training all the carers and making sure all the documentation is correct, etc. So can you tell us a little bit about that, please, Tracy?
So the case manager would be supporting everybody involved to make sure that they're keeping the correct documentation. And so that would include the carers keeping detailed notes. Gone are the days when we could just have a communication diary that the carers use to communicate with one another. And being online has helped enormously with being able to encourage the carers to make sure that they record what is needed, what is important, and to be able to review that quickly as a case manager. And there's lots of systems now in place, either through direct recruitment or the care agencies are also using it, where things are now going online and we can monitor and ask the carers to add specifics into the documentation.
I can imagine that helps with consistency as well as the care's ongoing and when there's handovers and you've got a whole care team working.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to get the balance right between lots of information but not too much information so that it can actually be digested.
Because also those records are disclosable, so it's important that they contain the information that assists the case and nothing in there that would cause any difficulty if it's disclosed to the defendant.
Yes, I think that would include making sure that the carers know their sort of legal requirements and their note-taking as well. And that I would discourage them from talking about other people within the notes, naming them, etc. Because that sort of thing would cause difficulties.
I think overall, in terms of the whole setup of having the evidence from the legal perspective, what it helps us to do is paint a picture as to what's going on. And certainly in my experience, if we can show that what we put into place is working, it's very difficult for defendants or the court indeed to argue that this setup isn't what the person needs moving forward, that this amount of care, that this amount of rehabilitation, this amount of therapy, this home isn't what we should have moving forwards. And I think that's where the evidence really helps, and the work that yourself and the rest of the team does really helps from a legal perspective, because it enables us to show exactly what's working. The cases where we're, for whatever reason, in terms of the legal claim, aren't able to do that because we don't have the funds, you notice it is a little bit harder to paint that picture, because it's harder for us to work from a position when those things aren't already in place. Cerebral palsy cases where we get an admission of liability early, we have the funds available to us via interim payments, and we put in the care, the therapy, the case management, the house into place before the case is settled, it really helps for when we get to the final point and we're negotiating the figures, because we know exactly what we're working with. We know what works, we know what doesn't, and we've gone through the process. And I think that's really where a case management comes to light and shines for us, because it gives us the ability to take us from the point of virtually nothing to the point where we can have that picture painted, we can have everything in place, and we can say to the courts and the defendants, this is what this individual needs, and this is what's working. And I think that's the true beauty of case management from the legal perspective as it is. I think today's session has been really interesting. Thank you so much, Tracy. I think what we wanted to do is paint the picture for our listeners as to what case management is, for those of you who don't know, and where it fits in with the legal process. And certainly from my own perspective, and I know from Kashmir's, we find our case managers invaluable to the work that we do, and we know that our clients do. And it's certainly a benefit in our large scale cases that we have these relationships, because it can only benefit our existing clients and our future clients. So thank you.